Today is the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Liturgically, we are about midway through the season of Epiphany and making our way towards Lent. We are continuing Mark's Gospel, who, as Brian shared last week, gives us the Cliff Notes version of the other writers. Mark skips over the birth of Jesus, visit of the Magi, and the escape to Egypt, and jumps right in with Jesus' baptism. He begins with John the Baptist roaming the desert, baptizing and preaching, preparing hearts and minds. God has declared, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Jesus has gathered his first disciples, brothers Simon and Andrew, James and John. These four men have courageously put down their nets and joined Jesus on his journey. The groundwork has been laid, and now the adventure begins. In today's lesson, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. Because the temple in Jerusalem was too far for many Jews to travel for regular worship, many towns had synagogues serving as both schools and places of worship. On the Sabbath, men would gather to hear the nomadic rabbis, who often quoted well-known rabbis, in an effort to give their words authority. But today, Mark explains how Jesus' teaching was different. Jesus didn't quote others. He taught by his own authority, thereby stirring up the crowd. "Who is this guy?" they asked. And if that weren't confusing enough, Jesus performs a miracle. He's teaching at a synagogue in Capernaum when someone with an unclean spirit, a vice, a stumbling block, a barrier, an addiction, whatever you want to call it, this person challenges Jesus and is immediately healed. Mark describes, "The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek." The man's barrier to living fully in Christ has been broken, and he is whole. Mark goes on to say of Jesus, "At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee." Boom. Just like that, Jesus goes viral. This event in Mark's gospel denotes the beginning of the good news. Without smartphones or social media, word of this miracle began to spread throughout the entire region, over mountains and through valleys, across deserts and oceans for 2,000 years. With the six words, "Be quiet, come out of him," the world has forever been changed, and we are worshiping together this morning in this beautiful snowy place. The individuals in that synagogue witnessed healing, perhaps experienced their own, and spread the word. In this particular miracle, Jesus removed the stumbling block to living fully. He went on to heal lepers, hemorrhaging women, and the blind, freeing these victims from their suffering. They were made whole and were now capable of a full and abundant life. They have a clean slate. But what is the rest of the story? What did this man do after the demon came out with a shriek? I would like to believe he embraced life, tapping into his creativity and talent, fostering hope for others. That he filled the void left by the demon and lived a life of love and courage. We all have barriers to a personal relationship with Christ. It's called life. Battling the would-haves and the should-haves is constant. And I've come to understand that it doesn't matter if you're in middle school, college, have small children, are an empty nester, or retired. These blockages are there, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The 13th century scholar and theologian Rumi writes, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." There are emotional barriers of fear, anxiety, or restlessness, physical barriers of illness, alcohol, drug, or food abuse, spiritual barriers, painful memories of an unhealthy church experience, or me too, buried in a deep, dark place. I know I can check several of those boxes for myself. When I wrestle with these questions, I often find myself turning to the Psalms for solace. The Psalms for today perfectly complement Mark's gospel, full of praise to God as creator, sustainer, and redeemer. These words give strength and deep meaning to Jesus' ministry. They remind us of the power of God's works. He is faithful, just, trustworthy, understanding, holy, and awesome. They can fill the emptiness and make us whole. As a little girl, I spent most of my summers with my grandparents in Florida. A few afternoons a week after the heat waned and the crowd subsided, we would load up the car with a picnic, beach blankets, and folding chairs, and head to Clearwater Beach. We would be in and out of the water, jumping waves and building sandcastles, trying to squeeze every last minute out of the day. What I remember most vividly about those late afternoons is digging holes. My grandparents would rest in their chairs with a watchful eye, while I would sit where the dry, sugar-white sand met its wet, caramel-colored neighbor, right where every third wave reached. I would dig increasingly deeper holes and be mesmerized by their repair. First wave, second wave, third wave. The force of the water would shift the countless grains of sand, leaving no scar or weakness, only pristine shore. I could do that for hours. Jesus takes away our barriers, and God, through the Holy Spirit, fills that void. Unlike the relationship between the waves and the sand, we must give permission. I have said before, and I fully believe, we have to actively participate in our own transformation and healing. Personally, I'm highly skilled at lifting my burdens in prayer and then taking them back. I negotiate with God, "You can have all my burdens. Well, maybe I'll just hold on to this one for a little while longer." What I've learned over time is I can lift my burdens, but I must fill the void. I can fill it with anxiety, one too many glasses of wine, or a sleeve of Girl Scout Thin Mints. Or I can fill that hole with God's energy and creativity. It's my choice. For me, God's energy and creativity is the embodiment of the adjectives used in today's Psalms. Upright, delightful, honorable, majestic, gracious, merciful, faithful, trustworthy. These characteristics are powerful when put into action. They can change a culture and are contagious. just like the waves on the shore, these words can overcome adversity and give strength to the weak. And here's the most amazing part. God uses us as waves in each other's lives. This past Monday afternoon, I drove down to Afton to meet with the customer accounts supervisor at Lower Valley Energy. Tammy has been with Lower Valley for 28 years and has the unfortunate responsibility of disconnecting service to those who can't pay their bills. With tears in her eyes, Tammy shared the disconnection process, resources available for customer assistance, and a few heart-wrenching stories. At the end of our time together, she and I had the beginnings of a plan. You see, every assistance agency has guidelines, and there is often an outlier, someone who, for whatever reason, doesn't qualify for assistance. She would call me when she had such a customer, and St. John's would be there. And call Tammy did the very next morning. She explained the customer's situation, and $475.26 later, it was cured. A woman would remain in a warm home for the remainder of a season. And as a bonus, Tammy's burden was lifted as well. You did this. Your support and generosity through the Season of Light campaign is a powerful wave of love. At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The more I sit with this gospel, I began to understand it wasn't fame for fame's sake, like Justin Bieber or a Kardashian. It was so we, today in Jackson Hole, have the power and courage to heal, be healed, and share with others. Was the miracle the casting out of the demon or the resulting evangelism? I believe it was both. Amen.